Tonight's shir is Simon Reish Mem Dalet Se'iv Vov. Yehudi HaKoinim Meches. If a Jew purchases the rights to collect tax, Umaskelo Eina Yehudi L'Kal Meches B'Shabbos, so he hires a non-Jew to do the work to collect on Shabbos. Mutter Imhubi Kiberlis is permitted as long as he's hired in a contractual situation, the Haina meaning, She'oimelo, he tells him, L'Keshetigbe Me'edinor Metin L'Chol Kach V'Kach, you're getting paid such and such amount for every 100 dinar that you bring in. So, I'm not paying you a day's wage, which you can't hire him for the day for Shabbos to do the work. But I'm telling you, listen, when you bring in this amount, that's the amount I'm going to pay you based on what you bring in, like your commission, so to speak. Let's stop here, see the Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah says, Kalam Lamanav, a maskil or any Yehudi, he hires a non-Jew. Haloshen ha'inu k'meduk, the language is not accurate, ki kavan hu, what he's trying to say is shesoicher es anyhu, he hires the non-Jew. Sivkana beis imhubi kiboilis, they have a contractual arrangement. The ashur medina, then meikur halach is permitted. Kamo ba'orus la'abdim reishimin reishin beis, you learn about the slave in reishin beis when he gives leather to a tanner. The mutalitin lo kodim shkia sacham imhubi kiboilis, you could give it to him before the sun sets if they have a set arrangement on the pricing for the work to be done. Because after that, the non-Jew works of his own choice. Even though, in the case of the tanner, you cannot set with him that he's going to work on Shabbos. And furthermore, Davi Milsim of Hesia, we deal with something that's public knowledge. Everyone knew that he's working for the Yid. No different than a situation where the non-Jew works in the Jew's house. The asar sham, that's forbidden over there. Yet in this case of the meches, in the case of tax collecting, is permitted. Mishum pseida, because you're dealing with a terrible financial loss. The adam bahul almamono, and people get very flustered when they deal with their finances. Vilo sharisle, and if you don't allow it, asi ligbos ba'atzmo, he'll end up collecting it himself. Vyavode isur dirais, he'll end up with a Torah iser. The shami yichta piska keder chamoichim, he'll write a receipt, which is common when they get the taxes, they write a receipt. Well, if he's a mashma, the mechas she'in kaisim, the implication is that if you're dealing with a tax where there's no writing receipts, going osan shaloichin mine mach mechas, there are places where they take food items as the tax and they don't write any receipts, then it's osur, afil de nehudi, then he can't even have a naju do the collecting. Because if we don't allow it, and he may do it himself, you're not going to deal with an issa d'oraisa. There's no issa d'oraisa, but just collecting the food as the tax. This d'oraisa is writing the receipt. If it's not nogei to write a receipt, so then we're not going to be as lenient. Aval ataz amogen avam maski, but the taz amogen avam conclude, da'afila bo'ofen zeh, even in such a case, shirina aydein yehudi, we will allow the non-Jew to collect, mishum pseida, because we're dealing with a loss. But as far as he's concerned, personally, he cannot collect taxes, even if the tax is food items. Even if it's not brought from beyond the boundaries of the tchum. And there's no concern that this was trapped. There's no concern that this was attached to the ground, and they cut it from the ground over the Isser Koitzer. It's still Osir because of Mimsoz Chefzecha. We learn this in Simen Shinvav, that the Pasuk of Zechetzcha tells you that on Shabbos, you don't do your weekday activities on Shabbos. And therefore, he shouldn't be collecting taxes on Shabbos, even if the taxes are food items and there's no Isser involved in this food. Yehudi Shesachar Bishul HaMelech Menasar. If a Jew buys the rights, or the license, essentially, to cook up the salt from the government, from the governor, they would take the seawater, they'd cook it up, the water would evaporate, you'd be left the salt, and they'd only let certain people do this. So the Yid buys the rights. Mutar lahaskelo paral b'kibos, he can hire workers, the Yid can hire non-Jewish workers and pay them by a contract wage. Shem yaslo kach v'kach melach, if they do make such an amount of salt, Yid lo kach v'kach, they'll get paid such an amount. V'afal pisha keilim v'etzim hem shel yisol, even though the pots and the different pans they use and the wood they use to make the fires are all the property of the Yid, shari that's permitted. Provided they don't go to the Jew's house on Shabbos and pick up the wood and take it away. Kablonis is only permitted when he gives them before Shabbos starts, whatever he needs to give them to do the malacha. And they take it all out of his domain before Shabbos starts. Now, it's not allowed to hire a non-Jewish worker for the week, for the month, because basically then all the profits go to the Yisrael. The only allowance would be if it's with this contract arrangement in advance, not just a hired wage for a day's work. When you collect this much money, I'll give you such and such an amount. He doesn't mention Shabbos at all. He just says, when you collect this amount, I'll give you the commission, this much I'll give you. So he's not hired for the day. And we don't say that he's earning money on Shabbos. He purchased from the government, from the governor, the taxes for the entire year, including the Shabbos. So therefore, there is no Schar Shabbos by itself. The Ramah continues, what he could do is just lease out to the non-Jew the taxes of Shabbos. And the non-Jew takes all the profits from Shabbos. We're not going to be afraid people will suspect that he's doing it for the Jew. In a case of loss like this, they weren't concerned. What about the Yid who's in charge of minting the coins for the king? He's no different than the one appointed to take care of the taxes. Even though there's going to be noise on Shabbos, as they're beating out and minting the coins, it doesn't make a difference. Look there in simulation base. He has to be careful. The Yid cannot sit by the non-Jew on Shabbos when he's doing the work, whether he's minting the coins or collecting the taxes. The Jew should not be anywhere near the non-Jew who's doing his work on Shabbos. He can make an arrangement where the non-Jew collects all the taxes on Shabbos for the whole year. But it's a little minute to say. In such a case, the non-Jew is working for himself. Because the Magen Avraham writes, in this case, there's no issue of Schar Shabbos, even though he had hired him for Shabbos only. Because basically, the non-Jew purchases from him the taxes for Shabbos. Let's say I have a case where this fellow knows he's going to get business on Shabbos. So what he does is, before Shabbos starts, he sells the business to a non-Jew. He'll receive the merchandise on Shabbos. That's okay, because he sold the business for Shabbos. So then when merchandise comes in on Shabbos, it goes to the guy who bought it, belongs to the non-Jew. The same is true by minting coins. He'll sell the license that he has from the king, and then the Najah takes the profits. So you're left with only Maras Ayin. It doesn't look right. Where people will say, he's doing it for the Yid. That the Yid hired him to write the receipts and take the taxes. That's where the Ramah writes, we're not worried. When there was a case of loss, the Chacham didn't worry about Maras Ayin. He didn't mention there's a problem with Schar Shabbos, because there isn't. They weren't worried about the Maras Ayin. That you should know. It's implied from all the poiskim. That even in case of great losses, you're not allowed to just pass it on to a non-Jew unless it's in the way the Shulchan Aruch describes. The hainu, meaning, it has to be like a kablonis. or basically he is selling to him or renting to him the profits itself. So when the non-Jew works, he's working of his own choice and to his own benefit. But if it's an actual day labor, he's hired for the day, it's for sure forbidden, no matter what, no matter what the hefset is. From this you should know. There are these people who they own liquor stores. So they hire Erev Shabbos, a non-Jew, to work on Shabbos and deal with the clientele who come on Shabbos to sell the beverages. That's not halacha. Even if he would consider the fact that he's closed for Shabbos, the lack of profits as a loss, they still didn't allow hiring a non-Jew to work for the day. And besides, who says it's a loss? It's just a loss of profit. When it came to the oven and bathhouse. In any event, we're only going to allow it if it's in the way the Shulchan Aruch describes, that's going to be a case where you have a kablanah situation, or maybe you sell him Erev Shabbos all the things that will be sold on Shabbos. Even though the business is associated with the Yisrael, this will be allowed because of the loss. Well, if you master kasal kamei b'shem atas, based on what we write later on in the name of Taz, yemuta b'zel Yisrael leishem merachoik v'lishmar. It would be allowed for the Yid to sit at a distance to keep an eye and watch. That the Nadu shouldn't steal from the business. But the Yid has to be careful not to get involved in any of the dealings. And not to speak with him at all about any of the business dealings. This is a very hard thing to be careful. Not to say a word. Because somebody sits there. But the veld is mekel. So we're going to let them be mekel because mutim she shoygim vayimezidim. Better they should be shoygig than intentionally over. Vavateach b'Hashem, one who trusts in Hashem, ve'enem achapes adod dekus al Shabbos, doesn't look for all kinds of leniencies for Shabbos, Ashrav, fortunate is such a person. Sivkal ha'mavav, dino kedin v'chulo, the one who mints the coins is like the one who's in charge of the tax, while kein mutli tana kesel and yehudi medyoyim, b'kiberdes. So again, he gives the Naju the silver before Shabbos starts, and you make a contract, shim yaseh lo min ha'kesel, kach v'kach, if he makes from the silver such and such amount of coins, yitin lo kach v'kach, he'll get paid such and such. Or he could just give the whole business over to the non-Jew for Shabbos, like we said before, Mishum Seyda, because of the loss that he may incur. The Ramah says the Yid has to be careful not to sit by the non-Jew who's busy minting the coins or collecting the taxes. He shouldn't sit by the person who he hired with kablonis. O shalucho, or his messenger, meaning to say the Yid who hired the Goy cannot sit by the Goy, nor can a Shliach of the Yid sit by the Goy. Because of the Taz writes, the Masha also lays of Shom, the Israel sit there, that's if the Yid wants to know what the business is that the non-Jew is involved in. To get an accurate accounting the next day. Also, that's forbidden. He's busy involved in business on Shabbos. We learn this later in Simon Shinvav Sifalf. But if he's only sitting there to make sure that the non-Jew isn't stealing from the tax money, mutter, again, as a guard, he can sit there. And again, this explains, there's a practice when people rent the mill from the government, from the governor, the host of some Yisrael, we have a Yid sitting there, I feel b'shavis, Yid Shabbos, to watch over that nothing is stolen. But he can't speak at all about any of the business dealings. That's what he says. And other achronim write this as well. So I'd like to go over with you what did we learn in this simon, like a review. First of all, it is usur to make up with a non-Jew to do construction in his house, in his yard, even though it's a contract kabbona situation, there's a chashad, there's a marasayin. Even if the minig of the city is that everyone does with contracts, we still assert. In Shas al Chag Godol, there were some times when the poskim had leniencies when the minig year was due b'kablonis to allow them to work on Shabbos, but it was a very few and rare cases. If the construction is chusat chum, and there's no yid who's going to see what's going on, and it's done b'kablonis, that would be allowed. We also learned that it's also to allow non-Jewish workers to work in his yard, whether it's cutting the grass, trimming the bushes, any kind of work, putting on a roof, anything like that, any involvement with his karka, even if it's b'kabonis, again, because of the Morris Ayin, it looks like he called them up and hired them for the day. If he makes a condition up front that they're not going to work on Shabbos, and they show up on Shabbos, he has to tell them to keep the deal. But if they continue to work because they want to get on to another job, he does not have to offer them money to stop. So Shaila, if he has to offer them money, if he didn't make a condition up front. It's usur to make up with a non-Jew to do work in the Jew's house on Shabbos, even if it's not mechuba l'karka, even if it's metaltalin. A goy cannot come into a Jew's house and do work on Shabbos. It is mutter to make an arrangement with a non-Jew to do work in the non-Jew's house, as long as it's not noticeable that this is the Jew's item. And that's why we're allowed to leave a car by a mechanic and clothing by cleaners. The wait staff only does work that you're allowed to do. It's usur to hire a non-Jew to do work for a month, for a year, and they're going to work on Shabbos as well, even in the non-Jew's house, because the yid benefits from the work he does on Shabbos. There's a harvocha, since I have constant work for him to do, so if he's going to be working on Shabbos, I'm benefiting from that work, as if I'm instructing him to work on Shabbos. You can never instruct a non-Jew to do a job for you on Shabbos, even if it's a kabbonis, even if it's in his own shop. You can't give the car Erev Shabbos right before Lichtsinden and say, I need this right after Shabbos is over. You're telling him to work on Shabbos. That you're never allowed to do. Sometimes, in case of great loss, there are allowances to sell a business to a non-Jew for Shabbos. You can never hire a non-Jew to work in the store on Shabbos. That's also. But to sell the business to a non-Jew for Shabbos, we learned in the last if, Sivav, there are leniencies. It is very rare that we do this. We really try to avoid it. But there's sometimes you really are stuck. There's a fellow who comes to me that he has a franchise. And the franchise parent company insists that he works on Shabbos. And eventually he sold out. He sold his franchise out to someone else because it was impossible. The company said you cannot maintain the franchise unless you're open on Shabbos. Another fellow took a store in a mall. And the mall rule was that tenants in the mall must be open on Saturday. That's a major shopping day. How can it be closed on Saturday? So in that situation, we'll find ways of selling the business for Shabbos. Again, in the case of the franchise, eventually they sold the whole business entirely. But those were examples. Another example is certain types of businesses people are in. If you're in the heating, cooling business, you have to be available for emergencies 24 hours, 7 days a week. In the businesses that they expect you to be open 24 hours, 7 days a week, you have to have some arrangement for Shabbos. You can't stay in business and have some arrangement for Shabbos. So again, they will either sell the business for Shabbos, or they perhaps will have a non-Jew open another business and all calls are directed to the second business for Shabbos calls. Some people have come to me over the years to arrange such a thing for them. And I said, no, why would I arrange for you to work on Shabbos? We close our stores on Shabbos. We're not open on Shabbos. There are rare cases when it's an absolute necessity. And when there's such a necessity, we do it. If there's no necessity, we don't do it. And you should know, from my recollection, when we do these shtaris, we do for 17% of the business. If you count up all the days of Shabbos and Yontif, and I was told her, if you're doing the right, do Chol HaMoed too. So you end up with 17% of the business. There are Shabbos, Yontif, and Chol HaMoed. It's a sizable amount. In any event, it's again, we don't do it for anyone who just wants to have his business open, and it could be a Chil Hashem, it could be a Zilzal on Shabbos, but in specific cases when it absolutely has to be, so then there is a Mahalach that talks about here in Sivav, we're just selling the whole Geschäft. Malcolm Hefzad Gadol will sell the whole business to the Goy for Shabbos Yom Tov.